Do you like film? Do you like comedy? Do you like your childhood memories?
One more take?
Yeah.
Lewis and Pete's bad nostalgia film club.
Each episode sees comedian Lewis Charlesworth and Pete Phillipson revisit a classic childhood film through the eyes of an adult to see how messed up it truly is. Be it Back to the Future for its story of incest, Mrs. Doubtfire for its tale of the creepy cross-dressing father babysitter, or Home Alone with its sinister home invasion toddler torturer nightmare.
Bad nostalgia.
The Hello, Disney series.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Bad Nostalgia with me, Lewis Charlesworth.
And me, Pete Phillipson.
Yes, here we are. This is the second episode of the Disney series. Series 3, Pete. Going strong.
We got a series 3.
We got a third one. Not even Alan Partridge got a third series, did he?
No,
give me a second story. Just in case you're wondering why... I mean, things are fine. Things are fine. I shouldn't really draw attention to
Don't
it.
Even... Yeah, no one can see us, mate.
I know. I've got to just... I always want to be honest with you guys, you listeners, all three of you, as I always say. I am driving the show today. Our lovely Michelle, our techie, is not here. She's ill, so I'm stepping in. I know we did it before with ET, and it wasn't our finest hour, but now I'm feeling like I've done it before. I'm less freaked out about what's going on. I can multitask. It feels like I'm playing a drum.
Do you know what? It's really
weird.
It feels
like it.
I thought about ET the other day. I was just thinking about some random episodes, and I thought about ET, and I just thought, I can't remember anything from that show.
Yeah, I totally agree. I cannot remember anything because I was speaking, but my mind wasn't engaged because I was too busy thinking about, oh my God, I need to press the button. It needs to be right. It needs to be the right levels, which is kind of what I'm doing now, but I'm feeling it is like playing a drum.
Yeah,
it's like that, even though I've never played a drum before.
I remember one funny thing from E.T. and it was when they find him in the woods and he's like, and then like they're finding like passed out by a canal, and we made a joke about him being like the stag on a stag game. That's the only joke I remember.
That was quite a good point.
That was quite funny.
Yeah, that was quite good.
But that's all I remember from
that
episode.
Same here. I think that's something about AIDS, but I don't think it was funny.
So if you want to listen, folks, if you want to like binge on it, like Gav does.
Big time.
Every week. Don't start with E.T.
Don't start with E.T. End of E.T.
End with E.T.
Just miss E.T. out.
Just
fast forward to the stag do bit, then just leave it. Yeah. Have a cup of tea. Listen to us
and
now.
Miss Home Alone out as well. But you don't have a choice because it wasn't recorded.
Yep. And I thought you meant Home Alone 2 then when I did it with my girlfriend. I was like, are you trying to slag off my girlfriend?
No, of course
but
not.
You meant the first one, the lost episode.
I meant the lost episode that's out there somewhere.
Not your Home Alone 2.
No.
God.
Home Alone 2 was the denouement.
The denouement. Right, so what have we got today, Pete? What film have we got?
Beauty and the Beast.
Should we try and do a harmony?
Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, we both did the same thing at the same time then. We were too good.
You do the harmony, I'll sing it normally. Okay.
Beauty and the Beast.
That's lovely. We're showing off now. I'm playing a drum and harmonising. I'm bloody Phil Collins. Right,
too many people.
Right, so here we are. We've got the show. I'm just gathering my thoughts. Sorry, I'm thinking out loud. Just bear with me. I'm a bit slow on the uptake today, but I'll get there, right? So we've got Beauty and the Beast.
We
had Aladdin last week, which was a great return to form, wasn't it? We were back with a bang, weren't we?
Yeah, this is our third Disney outing. What year is this?
1991.
1991. Are we going like that? Are we actually accidentally doing it chronologically?
We are kind of, in a way, gradually we are, but we're kind of stuck on 1991, actually, at the moment.
Oh,
Aladdin
was
round about that period, and so was Little Mermaid. Yeah. We're kind of stuck in this late 80s, early 90s
it's
period.
It's the golden age, wasn't it?
It's the Disney Renaissance period what we're still with.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good place to plough through with lots of good BN films, because they were all of that period, of that ilk, and they're all coming from the same really dodgy place, but in very different ways. Last week, we with Aladdin. Obviously, we had a lot of the kind of imperialist mentality pre-9/11. Oh, isn't it funny being in the Middle East and having to eat your own poo kind of mindset. And now we're in this kind of French fantasy milieu. Oh God, another French word I'm using. They just like that.
Yeah, I did. Pretty slick, I'm so excited about all the stuff
that, like, we're going to come out with for this episode.
That we're going to come out with for this episode.
It's a really interesting one, isn't it?
It is, yeah, yeah.
Because when I started, I don't know how you felt, but, like, obviously, listeners, me and Pete never talk about the films at all. This is the first time we get a chance to actually exchange our little theories and everything. But when I was watching it, I don't know if you felt like this. At first, I thought, there's such a beautiful meaning and message behind this film. I'm not going to find anything in it. It's a really, really lovely little film.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know, let's start the nostalgia music, actually, because I just realised... To stick with the nostalgia anyway, Pete. So.
Yeah, yeah. So I remember this one better than The Little Mermaid and Aladdin. I remember.
Oh, do you?
I remember it was always me and my sister used to
I was gonna say,
get together and watch this.
I've asked a lot of my friends, did you watch Beauty and the Beast? And you know, my laddie mates.
Yeah.
And they say, no, never saw it at all. And I thought, yeah, it's quite a girly film, actually. Yeah, and I thought, I only watched it because my sister made me watch it all the time.
Do you know what? I've just realised, I think that's why I used to watch it all the time.
Is it?
Because you wouldn't, you're a little lad, aren't you? You're running around.
I'm
running around Bolton. You wouldn't want to, you're getting a pasty from Greg's. Greg's doesn't exist yet.
But doesn't.
Do you know what I mean?
Like a guy called Greg. You want to start
that,
somewhere.
You've got that northern pressure to be a man. You don't want to watch Beauty and the Beast, do you, mate?
Even when you're at the age of six, as I was at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
You're still kind of, well, it's about girl in it. She falls in love.
Yeah, yeah.
She's a beast.
Yeah.
No, but my sister, she made me watch it. And then as soon as you got that reason to start watching it, you appreciate the classic that it is.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So I did always remember how good a film it was.
And I was in love with Belle as well. There's something about her over, you know, Princess Jasmine and The Little Mermaid.
Really?
I think when I was a kid, yeah. I think I don't know why. I think it's because it's almost like she was attainable when I was a little kid. She wasn't a mermaid.
She is
an
easy lady.
She wasn't a princess. I don't know if she was an easy lady.
She's bookish, isn't she?
But she lives in the village. It's like she could live in your village. Do you know what I mean?
Edgeworth.
Yeah.
Lincolnshire.
You thought
France.
Allen 5.
You thought rural France doubled up for a bit of Lincolnshire back in the day.
I did, yeah.
Right, right.
I was having a bath in the sink and I thought, you know, it could
with your little
happen.
Bum.
With my little book and peeling a spud. And I thought it could happen. And I remember thinking as well that it was weird. It was like I knew I was sort of being taught morals in some sort of way.
Yeah.
And there was
from it feeling enriched.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was really surreal as well. It was like a surreal journey because it was like a, you know, a talking candlestick and everything, and it was this whole world, and it was
Toy Story
as well.
Before we had Toy Story,
it was
really, wasn't
yeah
it?
yeah you're right,
it was groundbreaking in lots of ways. Groundbreaking for the animation as well. It was the first time they started using digital CGI animation combined with the 2D traditional animation, and it was before we all started hating on CG as well, so everyone was like, oh my god, they did lots of that with computers, aren't computers magical, people?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. But now we're like, no. So yeah, perfect. Bad nostalgia.
Yeah.
Have you got anything else nostalgia wise you want to throw into the ring before
I
we move
made
on?
Of you.
No, I haven't. I think we cut it down succinctly.
Right,
we really
cool.
slammed it down. I think everyone really has got a good grasp of why Beauty and the Beast was a lovely piece of beautiful, unadulterated, lovely, angelic childhood joy. Right?
Yes.
So on the back of that,
let's give it a colonoscopy.
Let's give it a colonoscopy after a little trailer. Thank you, people.
Walt Disney Pictures presents its all-new 30th full-length animated motion picture.
Is anyone here?
Mama, there's a girl in the castle.
Good.
A girl!
The classic story of Beauty and the Beast. He was a lonely beast, cursed by a mysterious spell. And she was the beautiful young girl who could set him and his kingdom free.
She's the one! She has come to break the spell!
They were two complete opposites.
I don't want to have anything to do with him.
She is being so difficult.
Until something wonderful happened.
There's something sweet.
Straighten up.
And almost kind.
Show me the smile.
But he was mean and he was coarse and unrefined. And now he's dear.
You look so...
And so unsure.
Stupid.
I wonder why I didn't see it there before.
It's a story filled with fun.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Adventure.
Sacre bleu! Invaders!
And dozens of wonderful new Disney characters.
Keep it down.
Featuring six new songs from the Academy Award-winning composer and lyricist of The Little Mermaid. This holiday season, share the fun, the magic, and the music of an entertainment event you'll never forget. Disney's Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, Pete, remember that. Didn't that just send shivers down your spine?
It did, mate.
Oh, it was lovely. Beauty and the Beast. Oh, God, I love those early 90s trailers.
I know.
I love it. They always sound the same, don't they?
You get so much, don't you?
Yeah, you do. But without getting too much. You know, like today, they tell you the whole film.
Yeah,
It just makes you excited for the film. Yeah. And it plays you the highlights without fucking ramming it down your throat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the first swear word I've said.
It is, isn't it?
Pretty good, that. That's 13 minutes in.
You seem really relaxed, mate.
Do I?
Which is weird, considering you're doing like a multi-role.
I am. I'm playing 8 drums.
You are, yeah.
Yeah. Telling you, I've such an appreciation for Phil Collins, like I said before, I know. Right, okay.
And Michelle, our producer,
of course, yes, more importantly. Someone I actually know who does do this, rather than speaking in these weird metaphors, when I don't know Phil Collins. Let's do the deconstruction music, because we are ready to tear this film a new little cleanly shaven a-hole. Okay, I always love hearing that.
There's always this real bit of suspense where we look at each other, like staring, like really, like something really bad's about to happen. Well, it is. Something bad is about to happen.
It is,
it's
mate.
Fucking bad nostalgia.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. It's BN, mate. It's bloody BN. Oh, yeah, you think you got a serious little, nice little innocent film, but no, we're going to get beneath that surface. We're going to show you why it's so messed up, right? Okay. Before we do that, though, it's my turn, isn't it, to give them a little synopsis about Beauty and the Beast, just to properly refresh your memories before we really get to the subtext of everything, right? Okay, so Beauty and the Beast, set in a non-specific part of rural France in a non-specific time, shall I say. Let's say the 18th century, I don't know, a time when they had books. And you've got a little geeky girl called Belle who's really beautiful, but she likes to read. The town thinks she's slightly odd, because she likes to read, and she wants to get out of her little provincial life and just have a bit more of an exciting time, the kind of things that match all the excitement she reads in her little book. But then one day her father goes to ride out somewhere, takes a wrong turn and gets kidnapped by a beast. I probably should have started out with the beast, actually.
Beauty and the Beast. You started with the beauty, mate.
I started with the beauty.
Yeah,
okay, that's fine.
You knew
what
you were doing.
Yeah, sorry, mate. Actually, why am I doing myself over? No, he meets a beast, and the beast used to be a prince, but he was a prince who was very spoilt, and a witch visited him one time, and he wouldn't let her in, so she turned him and everyone in his house into inanimate objects, and him into a beast. And he's been given until the age of 21 to find someone to fall in love with him. And if he does, then he'll be turned back into the beautiful Aryan prince. And so he kidnaps the father for some unknown reason. Belle, the beautiful girl, goes searching for her father, says, "Take me instead." He takes her instead. They fall in love. There's an evil, vain man called Gaston who lives in the French village. He's in love with Belle as well. He embarks upon getting Belle back from the beast and killing the beast with everyone from the village behind him. They try to do that. He has some success. He almost kills the beast. He dies himself. Beast comes back to life, falls in love with Belle, happily ever after. Right, so wow. That was
great, mate.
It was patchy. I got a bit lost in myself a bit then, but we got there in the end.
The synopsis is very much the admin of the show, isn't it?
It really is.
It really is, yeah.
It's getting it out of the way.
We can party now, though.
We can party. We can chill the hell out.
Yeah.
Right, so we've got the first half of the film.
Okay. So, can I kick things off?
Kick things off, please. Right at the beginning, please, brother.
I think it's really unfair what happens to the fucking prince. So, the reason why the beast is a beast...
Yes, I totally enjoy it.
The reason why the beast is a beast is because some old haggard woman turned up at his doorstep and went like, "Oh, let me in," and he went, no, you're a munter. Yeah. Go away. You're some weird old haggard woman, which you probably would do.
Yes.
So he's like, piss off. Then it turns out she's actually some beautiful enchantress princess and makes him a beast for the next however many years for being so shallow, which isn't really a fair trade-off, is it?
No, not
like,
at all.
If you're really ugly and like if you are actually ugly and someone goes to you, oh, you're ugly, go away. So like you make them ugly, fair enough. But if you're not actually ugly and you're walking around with some kind of prosthetics, like she probably was, and they go, oh, you're ugly, and she goes, ha ha, and makes you really ugly while staying beautiful.
When she actually wasn't ugly.
Yeah. It's horrible. He doesn't deserve that.
The punishment totally outweighs the actual crime, and also, majorly. And it's not just that she was he's just turned away an ugly person. She's not just ugly. This woman is clearly a sinister witch.
Yeah, yeah.
She's walking up. She's like something out of Snow White. There's no way you would let this woman into your house. It's not because he's a dick that he didn't let her in. It's because he thought, you're a fucking witch and you're going to kill me.
Yeah.
And what does it takes nothing for her to put a spell on his house. So, I mean, she's got a pretty short temper. If he invited her in, it's like, do you want a cup of coffee? She's like, oh, yeah, take two sugars. He's like, oh, I've only got one sugar. All right, fuck you. I'll turn you into a frog that now. She's got a pretty short temper. He was quite justified in not letting her. It is not fair.
Yeah. And also, he'd been a beast for 10 years in the film, which is like...
It 10 years?
So he would have been... Yeah, so it would have been like... they mention it in the film, like he's been a beast for 10 years.
He's been a beast for 10 years.
So it was like 11. Like when he...
Oh, yeah, because it's up until he's 21.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was an
11-year-old kid. He's probably not thinking about what he's saying either. Do you know what I mean?
He's probably been told to say no to strangers.
Yeah, exactly.
Not to say yes to them, the scary old women. Plus, where are his parents? He's living in a castle on his own.
Yeah.
And she's punished him by turning him into a beast when he was 10 years old. This is a beautiful point, Pete. I did not know about that.
Yeah.
You with your specifics, mate. Flipping heck. Right, can I move on to the next bit?
Yeah,
I
mate,
add that
yeah.
as a point, but you raised some other things.
Yeah,
that was
lovely.
Go on,
mate.
I'm glad it's going to be one of those shows where we've not got many trailers and stuff like that, because we've got a lot of stuff to get through.
Oh,
here,
yeah, yeah,
it?
Yeah.
We've got a lot of stuff. Right, so we've got... Oh. What I'm going to talk about now is the opening song, but I don't want to tread on your toes if you are using that song for your, you know, people, this song is fucked up, the new section.
I'm not. I'm using Beauty and the Beast.
Right, fine. So
that's how unplanned this show is, folks.
That's how
unplanned.
We
don't know what we're going to come
out
with.
We never know what we're going to say.
We don't.
We don't, baby. Apart from the little bits like when we talk about our ages and the differences, but we've not actually said that.
Oh, my God, we haven't, have we?
Oh, my God, it's because I'm Phil Collins it, baby. So the opening song, the first time we meet Belle, she's walking down the street and it's the introduction to her now. It's now established. The precedent's been set by Little Mermaid. All these Disney films from this era are pretty much musicals, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you've got your opening protagonist. She sings the first song of the whole thing, which is about her, who she is. And basically, this song is her saying, I like reading. I'm living in a provincial town. There's got nothing to offer me. So that's why I stick my head in these books. I'm like, okay, fine. But then... off the back of that, the chorus that from what everyone else in the village sings is essentially the saying that this girl is weird. She's a fuck up. She is weird. And she's weird because she's pretty, but she likes to read. That's the only reason that they think she's
mate,
weird.
I've got that exact same
have you got
thing
the same point?
Written down. They all think she's weirdo just because she likes
just
to read.
Just because she likes to read.
Because she's an intelligent woman.
Yeah. Did you feel sorry for the guy, the lovely guy in the bookshop who she buys the books off? Because I'm like, well, if the whole town have got this stigma attached to anyone who likes to read, that's going to fucking hit his business, surely.
No.
It's like, oh, are you going to buy something from him? Fucking geek. How could his business survive with that kind of stigma attached to it?
And also, one lyric in the song as well is, she says, I live in a little town with little people. And have you noticed how... the majority of people in the village are like dwarves. Like, they're really, really small. Now, it's in France. As far as I'm aware, like, that's not a stereotype of the French, that they're short.
I don't think so, no. It's
not,
a stereotype of Chinese people, isn't it?
I don't know, mate, but...
Well, that's what people tell me.
Oh, is that what people tell you?
People
right,
I don't know. That's what people I don't know tell me.
But, like...
When they're drunk.
They say that, like, it's a... I live in a little town with little people, and like Gaston's little henchman, he's really short.
He's really short.
Then the baker's really short. And as far as I'm aware, that's not a stereotype of French people.
Well, I don't think she meant literally little people.
But what does she mean? I live in a little town with little people, and everyone's little. I assume that's what she
meant. I don't
meant.
Think she means it like
not.
That. I think you're still stuck on Willow here, mate, aren't you?
She says
she means it like metaphorically, like little, like small-minded.
Yeah, but everyone is little, mate.
Are they?
In the village, yeah. If you look, like, everyone's just, like, really, really short. I don't know if it's to make Gaston bigger, but, like...
I tell you what I noticed about the people in the village, and I noticed this in this first sequence with the song. Nearly every woman in it's got massive tits. Did you notice that? I would notice that, yeah.
I didn't know.
Everyone's got massive tits. Watch it again, mate, on your own, right? Lock the door.
Is that a French stereotype?
I don't know. Maybe the kind of, oh, sacré bleu, like, kind of, oh, sexy, oh, my God, sorry, I don't actually think
maybe
that.
Maybe they got it wrong, like, and they thought that was a stereotype. Like, I think if it's even more ignorant in a way. They probably thought these things were stereotypes of the French, but they're not.
I don't know. They were just, like, making up their own stereotypes.
I'm not condoning racism, but, like, if you are going to be racist, get it right.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
Well, there's going to be some nice racial bonus points. That's what we're saying. And I don't know if you noticed as well, you've got the three blondes who all fancy Gaston.
Yeah,
and they've got really big breasts.
Yeah.
And they're all identical. So they're identical twin sisters, identical triplets. And they all have the hots for Gaston. And I was like, this is a bit dodgy for a kids' film, because they clearly haven't got an issue with the fact that they're all twins and they all want to shag the same guy. So it's like, this is like the world's best foursome just staring Gaston in the face. And he's just completely ignorant of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, that's my little point there. We just had the world's best foursome staring at him in the face. So we've got Gaston as well, moving on to him. He is, to say the least, a bit rapey, isn't he?
He is. You've got this scene where Gaston goes and proposes to Belle, and he sort of tries to rape her at the same time.
Yeah.
As if it's not enough that, like, he's blindly asking her for, like, a hand in marriage.
And the actual wedding ceremony is outside her front door.
Yeah.
It's a little bit presumptuous.
And then he's in the pub later, and he says, like, no one says no to Gaston.
Yeah.
And what do you mean, mate? What
do you actually mean, mate?
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Dirty. And when he's trying to get him to marry her as well, he knocks a chair out of the way. He pins her up against the wall. And I'm just like, this is a bit full on, brother, all right?
Yeah.
Just back off, all right? I'll go and have your foursome. So then after that, we've got the terrifying, absolutely terrifying sequence with Belle's dad, who goes riding off into the mist.
Yeah.
And takes a wrong turn and is chased by wolves. I was scared. I don't know about you, mate. That was pretty scary.
They weren't even wolves, they were bloody jackals.
They were something more extreme than wolves, weren't they? They were terrifying. They were snarling. Good. And then we've got and then he gets to the house. He's looking for a bit of refuge. He opens the door because he sees it's unlocked. And then that's when the shit goes down with the people in the house. So I think we will have a little segue before we move on to the next part. Actually, no, I've got. Sorry, this is me on the desk now. This is me playing the drum. We've got that song is fucked up section now, actually. Ooh. So we're going to skip ahead a little bit and then come back a bit.
Okay.
If we could just focus on Pete's version, Pete's episode of That Song is Fucked Up.
That song is fucked up. That song is fucked up. That song is fucked up. That song is fucked up.
Lovely. Still love hearing it. You know, I listened to it about four times before you got here.
I do, mate. Sends me to sleep.
Just on repeat?
Yeah, just me closing my eyes like, that song is fucked up. My girlfriend's like, Pete, you keep singing it. And he's like, I don't have a girlfriend. So we've got That Song is Fucked Up. This song...
It's fucked up.
It is fucked up. The title song, Beauty and the Beast, it's a lot about a lot of things, but the main message of it is to do with anal sex, mate. I don't know if you noticed this.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
When you were little, but the lyrics are just absolutely filthy.
Okay.
It has no place in a kid's film.
Let's see what you mean.
Okay, here we
Hit
go.
Hit me.
Taylor's old as time. Okay, what? A man keeping a woman hostage till she eventually has sex with him. It's a little bit Joseph Fritzl, really. It's not really tale as old as time. True as it can be, he's a half-man, half-beast whose best mate is a talking fucking clock. Right? It's not true as it can be, is it? Barely even friends, then somebody bends unexpectedly.
Ooh.
Bends over.
Okay.
Right? Just a little change. Small to say the least. A small change. They were barely even friends, and now they're engaging in anal sex. Both a little scared. You would be, if you were the receiver. Neither one prepared. Didn't even bring a water-based lubricant.
They didn't have lube back then, did they?
Exactly. Ever just the same. Ever a surprise. A surprise. She doesn't even know the sexual act is going to happen. Bittersweet and strange. finding you can change, learning you were wrong. If only the Beast had asked someone, he'd have got the right entry, Lewis. Certain as the sun, rising in the east. I think we know what's rising.
Well,
the Beast's hairy dick, Beauty and the Beast.
In the east as well. Exactly. Anal sex was invented in Vietnam.
Exactly.
Not.
The Kama Sutra.
Yeah. Yes.
Exactly. That was my point.
Right.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Have you, is that the whole song?
That is the whole song.
That's amazing, Pete. I never saw that. I never realised. But definitely, when it all started with the bending over,
it's
clearly that's what it is. Yeah. Thank you very much.
No worries at all.
Thank you very much for that song.
You meant to play that song for?
I don't know how to do it, so we're just going to have it played once. Good. Also, actually, I'm glad you picked up on that song as well, actually, because I noticed a couple of things about it. Beauty and the Beast, right? It's such a nice, iconic, beautiful, romantic song sung by the beautiful Angela Lansbury, who is still alive. Whoever would have thought? But Beauty and the Beast, I mean, they're dancing. It's the culmination. She's transformed him. He's now the love of her life. He's still in Beast form. Even though he looks disgusting, she loves him for what's underneath. Beauty and the Beast is really nice and really romantic, really magical. But she's still calling him the Beast. And as far as I can tell, that's quite a derogatory term for someone who's been made to turn into a dog, to call him the Beast.
That's true.
It's such a nice. It's like if he was, if the curse was he was going to be disabled or something, you wouldn't be like Beauty and the Monk, would it? Right? I mean, you put it in the most politically correct terms possible. You wouldn't even Beauty and the differently abled person. I mean, it's just, you wouldn't say Beauty and the Beast. He's a beast. No, it's just, I'm sorry, but you're just not having that. It's just not allowed. Right. So, that's a good point. Right, so we're going to have a little segue, and then we're going to continue to talk about Beauty and the Beast, beginning with the second half of the film.
Bad nostalgia.
Except he hasn't got
'em. We'll ruin your childhood.
We certainly will, and I didn't realise it was going to be that short. I was in the middle of a big fat cough. So, we've got a lot of stuff to cover, actually, when he gets to the mansion in the second half of the film.
Do you know, can I just kick things off?
Yes, please do. Please do.
So, I actually thought, like, it wouldn't be that hard to get a shag if you were actually the Beast. Right, okay. Now, hear me out.
Sorry, you just force yourself.
Well, no, mate, no. Okay. You're not Gaston, right? I saw a documentary once about sex and sexuality. This is genuinely true. Do you know how many people fantasize about having sex with animals?
What?
One in seven.
Oh, are you that one?
I'm not that one.
I'm not that one. I'd admit to a lot of stuff.
Well, this is the thing.
And I am
a lot of people
one.
Wouldn't admit to it, but apparently it is that common, one in seven. And I imagine the people that do fantasize about having sex with animals. You'd be picturing a beast of some sort, wouldn't you?
Yes.
You wouldn't want to fuck a goose, would you?
No, you want
it would
something
be like
that,
it would be something like that, a lion or a tiger or a beast.
Semi-human kind of limbs or something.
Exactly. Yeah.
And sometimes I think my cat's a bit sexy, and that's when I kind of relate it to a little hairy woman. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bent over.
But one in seven, all you'd have to do is like go to a village with 14 people in it. You could have a threesome. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, well, I suppose what's bringing the average up is people in Wales and New Zealand. Right, so...
You're going for it this year.
I'm really going for it. Sorry, I'm really...
You are ruining our Welsh fan base. And more importantly, our New Zealand one.
Yeah, exactly. All across the world. But no, related to what you're saying as well, this film... It's clearly staring at people in the face, right? I was having a drink with my mate just before, and he was like, what's wrong with Beauty and the Beast? And I was like, I use this point that I'm about to say now as the main example of why this film's so fucked up, right?
Yeah.
The film is essentially complicit with the idea of bestiality. It's romance with an animal, right? And it's not just, oh, no, he's still a man. He just looks like an animal. No. There's the whole section where she teaches him how to be human again. He eats like an animal.
Yeah.
He smells like one. He kills wolves like one. He's on all fours. He's an actual fucking animal who just happens to speak a bit of English.
Yeah.
She is developing, having feelings for a big fat dog.
Yeah.
And there's a section where the talking candlestick is like, how are we going to make them feel romantic about each other? What could we make them do? And I was just thinking, well, get her to fucking throw him a stick and play chase or something. Get her to allow him to hump her leg or something. He is a dog. It's a romance with a dog. Right. Flipping it. And it's endorsing it. It endorses a lot of weird sexual...
Well, the message of the film is basically, if you are hideously disfigured and you want a woman to fall in love with you, hold her hostage, and her standards will just drop so much.
Yeah.
Because there'll be no one else even remotely human around, and she'll fall in love with you.
Well, that's it again. The whole film is actually a domestic abuse story.
Yeah.
Because she gets domestically abused by Gaston, who tries to force her into marriage, and he kind of pings her up against the wall. So she runs off, she finds the beast, he locks her in a dungeon, and I've got all these quotes from what he says to her. It's just actual domestic abuse. He says, you must stay here forever. He says, come to dinner or I'll break down the door. If she doesn't eat with me, then she doesn't eat at all. Does this sound familiar? Yeah. Brookside. Right. I don't know where I am now. Back to the mansion. I've got a bit of stuff here, and I'm sure you've touched upon this as well.
Yeah.
All the inanimate objects in the house.
Yeah.
I think we've only just scratched the surface with this.
Yeah.
So the prince has insulted the witch, and then she's given him his comeuppance, which we've already established is majorly disproportionate to the crime.
Yeah.
And he's turned into a beast, right? Why did she put the curse on everyone else in the house?
I have no idea.
What did they do? What did the dog do? She turns him into a poof, doesn't she? And she turns a lovely, sexy French maid into a cobweb cleaner. Yeah. What do you call it?
A duster.
A duster, sorry.
Yeah,
a cobweb cleaner. I mean, why did she do this? And why are they all really happy about it? They're the most jovial people who've been turned into inanimate objects I can ever imagine, really. If I'd been turned into a sock, I would just be crying all the time. I wouldn't be like, oh, I love, oh, eat with me, la, 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 la. And also, you've got the little cop who's called Chip.
Yeah.
He's got a chipped bit in his head, and they've called him Chip. I mean, what is the parallel for the real life version of that? When he's a human child, has he got a slightly caved in head, right? And then there's the bit when he's got him and Angela Lansbury, who's the big teapot. There's a little bit. It's a really offhand comment, but she says, "Sit, get back in the cupboard with all your brothers and sisters." And there's literally 50 cups that are his brothers and sisters. What the fuck is going on there? It raises a lot of dodgy questions. Firstly, she's some extreme single mother who's been around the block, and where is the husband? Secondly, 50 brothers and 50 children working in that bloody mansion. The prince.
God, I didn't even think of this.
The prince should have. What was he doing? It's child slavery. He should have been fucking gotten his comeuppance for child slavery, not for being rude to a witch on his doorstep. Like, he's got 50 children working for him, and they've all been turned into cups, and they're all from the same mother. What kind of working situation is this? Where's the father? Angela, close them. Right? There's just all this stuff. And I'm really going for it now. The sexy French maid. I don't know about you, but did you fancy that duster when you were a kid?
I didn't, but I do now. I didn't even think it was a duster. I thought it was a pheasant when I was a kid. But looking back, that makes no sense whatsoever.
A pheasant?
Why would it be a pheasant? It's
I know
all
what you
household
mean, though.
Items.
You were just trying to kind of project some more kind of mammal type thing onto what was actually an inanimate object to try and justify fancying it, I think.
Yeah.
When I was watching it, even now, I was like, oh, God, that feather duster. I don't know how... So it means... The fact that it still attracts me now means that they've done something wrong there. They've managed to successfully really sexualise an inanimate object. And this is a kid's film. I mean, I'm lucky, after watching that when I was a kid, that I didn't start trying to knob a brush. Because it's doing really... In your formative years, when you haven't really concluded what the kind of... the way sex works, I really fancied the fuck out of that feather duster. And she looks like a feather duster. And you put two and two together, you've got your knob in a brush.
You put two and two together, you've got your knob in a brush.
You get your knob in a brush. Yeah. So, I don't know if you had any other thoughts in relation to...
There's the bit where they go on the date and she takes him up to the top of the castle. And she looks in the magic mirror and sees her father. And she's like, oh, I've really got to go. And the beast at that moment, he was like some teenager who's like got his own place and gets a girl back on like the first date. And he was like, and it's like, it reminded me of like a, you know, like being on a date with a girl and she gets a phone call saying, oh, I've got to go. My uncle's just been diagnosed with a disease.
Yeah.
And the beast's like, well, you know, he's already got the disease. You go in, it's not really gonna make any difference. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Do you want to stay? And she's like, no, we should really go get him. And he's like, well, is it not enough that I've held you hostage? Do you know what I mean? And I've taken you out for dinner and we've gone dancing. Are you really gonna go now? And she's like, yeah, I'm gonna go. My father's gonna die. And he's like, all right then. And then lets her go.
Yeah, he just lets her go after all that.
Yeah,
he's like, all right, I'll just carry on being a beast then.
Yeah.
According to Angela, she keeps calling me. My name's John, but she keeps calling me Beast. Thanks. Can it just be Beauty and John? No? Okay, Beast. Thanks, Angela. Right, so also as well with the old man, I'm glad you raised him as well. He puts him in the prison initially. So given his motives, which is to not be a beast anymore, what was his thoughts behind that? Was he thinking, oh, right, I'll just get anyone and put them in the dungeon and try and get them to fall in love with me?
Yeah.
Was that the original end game? Was he was going to try and woo this senile, scared old man into a relationship with the beast?
Do you know what,
old
mate?
Guy and the beast.
Well, if you think about it, like his standards. If someone did turn you into a beast, it wouldn't be that hard to fall in love with someone as well. Like his standards will drop, so he would fall in love with anyone. Yeah. He's got no one. He'd fall in love with like a man selling the Big Issue. Do you know what I mean on the street? If we gave him enough attention,
if it stops making you be a dog, you would literally put your knob in a brush. Basically,
you would
go for anything.
Well, you'd do that anyway.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, if you're horny and lonely, isn't it? yeah. So we've got the old man in the prison, and don't you think they compromise the message of the movie quite a lot as well? Because it's all about beauty isn't only skin deep; it's below the surface. Yeah, but then. Who does he end up falling in love with? The most beautiful girl in the village.
Exactly, yeah.
And when he gets turned back into the prince, he's the most beautiful Aryan prince. Look at them two together. Yeah. It's like the bloody Hitler's next door neighbour kind of thing. They're just like lovely, beautiful Aryan couple. And it's supposed to be about like beauty is beneath. And it's just like, well, you can't compromise.
But it's not because he was miserable
the
whole time he was ugly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd have more respect for it if when he's turned back into the prince, he ends up looking like Screech Powers or something. I think it would help to sustain the message of the
Screech
film.
Powers.
Yeah. From Saved by the Bell days, from the porn star days, of course. So, I think we've covered a lot of the film, unless there's anything else. Oh, I heard another point, actually. It's about Gaston. We need to bring him into it a little bit more. When you get to the final third, and Gaston realises that Beauty Belle has fallen in love with the Beast, and he realises that there actually is a Beast, then he just turns around and says, right, everyone in the village, every single person in the village, there's a Beast who lives outside of the village, few miles away, and he's in a big house on his own. Should we go and kill him because he's a bit different to us? And everyone's like, yes, let's kill him. Like at the drop of a hat, everyone gets a bit UKIP. Everyone gets Ku Klux Klan about it.
Yeah,
and he's not any threat to them. He's living miles away. He's keeping himself to himself. And like, oh, he looks a bit like a dog and he speaks. Oh, fucking kill him. If I heard about that, I'd be like, I want to meet him. I want to bloody ring the fucking Daily Mirror and get some cash.
But there's nothing. I don't understand how the whole village just goes for him as well, because everything that's going on in the little village, there's nothing else sort of supernatural going on. So when Gaston goes, kill the beast. There's a beast in the castle.
Yeah.
Right. Like, what goes through their head? Would you not go like, what do you mean a beast? I mean, there's a beast. Yeah, but what are you talking about? A beast?
Yeah, there's no magic. There's tits and bolts.
Well, there's a beast. It's like a man dog. What do you mean a man dog? That doesn't exist.
Yeah,
we're living in France.
Yeah, you're mad.
Why is there a man dog? Has it got rabies? That's all I'm concerned about.
Yeah, it's not speaking. It's not speaking. It's woofing, and the woof sounds a bit like
it's
hello.
A beast. Yeah.
It's not a beast.
How
mate.
Would you describe
it? Yeah.
That's all he has to say. And they're like, yeah, let's go kill it. What is it? I don't know. Let's go kill it.
Yeah. And, it's just a big talking dog. It needs the whole village to kill it together. Right.
And he stabs it as well.
He
you
proper
see that?
Stabs it, yeah. Yeah.
There's it's blood as well.
Dead violent, mate.
Yeah.
Dead violent. Right, so I think unless you've got anything else to bring to the table, we've already done 45 minutes, so I'm going to give us another little segue and then we're going to do the film trivia time. Unless you've got anything else you want to bring to the table, Mr. Pete.
That's it, mate.
Okay, see you soon, people.
Bad nostalgia.
Bambi? Bambi, come here.
Look. New spring grass.
love that segue. Yeah. It's just so ominous. It's so creepy. We don't even put the whole, we'll ruin your child. It's just like really sad and scary and sinister. So welcome back. Do follow us on Twitter, please. We're not expecting you to tweet or engage. You know, if you're listening to us, you like what we do, or even, no, if even if you don't like what we do, anyone, just follow us at Bad Nostalgia, at Bad Nostalgia, please, baby. Right, so what we're going to do now is the little film trivia time, people.
Film trivia time.
Okay, so we've got right. Film trivia time now. Pete, do you want to kick us off?
Yes, mate. Here's something I found. In the original version of the tale, the prince was turned into a beast. Not for being shallow and selfish,
this is good.
But because he refused to marry his evil godmother.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know about you, mate, but my godmothers in my family are like aunties, basically. I call them auntie. I've got an auntie Janet.
Yeah.
She's a lovely woman.
Yeah. Sure
if
she
my
is.
Mum said, but if my
sure
mum said, or anyone said, I don't know who was forced into marry his godmother, but if someone, you know, forced me to marry fat auntie Janet,
yeah.
who gives me a fiver in my birthday card every
Great.
Single birthday.
Whoopee.
Yeah. Do you think I'd marry her? He's the prince as well. He can have his pick of anyone. Why is he going to marry?
Marry?
He's going to marry. Bone marrow. It's a transplant.
He's so angry. He's saying marrow.
He's saying marrow.
Marrow. I like that. Will you marry me?
That was my... I went a bit too Lincolnshire there, I think.
Is that what they say? Marrow?
Yeah, yeah.
Will you marry me? Yerra.
No, you're a spud.
And also, what's the message of that film?
You're not going to engage in incest.
Yeah.
I'm turning you into the kind of person your child would be if you did marry this woman and had a kid with her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, in the rewrite Beauty and the Beast, that the message is love people for what they are underneath. The message of that Beauty and the Beast, the original one is just marry your mum.
Yeah.
Isn't it? That's all it is.
Yeah.
Weirdos. Was it Hans Christian Andersen?
I don't. It should have been.
I won't be surprised. Yeah. I won't be surprised.
Artwork by Kurt.
That's a lovely one, Pete. That is a lovely one. I had that one myself as well. So what else did we have? Oh, just to reinforce my point before that it's completely complicit in bestiality, is the Glenn Keane, the supervisor animator for the Beast, refined the design by going to the zoo and studying animals on which the Beast is based. So he based it on like a jaguar and a wolf, a dog, a bear, like all these different parts of different animals and spliced them all together to create this Frankenstein of an animal. Oh, I mean, cool. I don't know what they were thinking of him when he went to the zoo. He was like, can I just look at your coyotes, please? Like, oh, yeah, you're doing Lion King too? we're doing a romance. Oh, a romance between two coyotes? No. I'll come back later. Right. Do you know
what I mean? Right. I've got another one here. So in the original, the original tale's like really. I'll come back later.
I'll come back when no one else is there.
Yeah. In the original tale was really dark, basically. Beauty's challenge in the original one, because in the actual cartoon, Belle's got to sort of get past his volatile temper.
Yeah.
Okay. But in the actual original tale, she had to get past the fact that he couldn't even really speak or express himself properly, because not only did she make him ugly, the spell, they also made him really thick and stupid as well, so he couldn't talk properly, so he had to overcome that. But it's like, you think, well, he was
what
already ugly.
Like?
How the fuck did she fall in love with him? He was ugly and stupid, couldn't even talk. She'd be like, oh, Mr. Beast, can you show me the library? He'd be like, sandwiches!
So he would have just been a mute dog.
Yeah.
She falls in love
and
with
he couldn't,
a mute
he couldn't
dog.
Express himself properly, he couldn't speak.
Oh, mate, that is sick.
So inviting her for dinner, he wouldn't be like, would you like to join me for dinner? I mean, I'm angry and I don't really want to go, but do you want to join me for dinner? He'd be like,
food, feck, women. Nice, very nice. I've got a few things that aren't massively relevant to why it's a messed up kids film, but they are pretty. It's pretty creepy. These bits of information, right? So we've got many scenes were storyboarded but never animated. There was one where Gaston visits the asylum. You know, where they take Belle's, where they want to take Belle's father. And another scene where the Beast is seen dragging off a carcass of an animal he killed. Right?
Which the skeleton of that can be seen.
It's still there.
If
you look out for it.
And it's to show how mad he's actually gone, being the Beast.
Yeah, how much of a beast he actually is, how much he's regressed, how much he is an animal, and you should not be attracted to him.
Yeah.
It was nominated for Best Picture. It was I think it was the first animation to ever be nominated for a proper Best Picture at the Oscars, and it lost to Silence of the Lambs. So, bit of a gear change.
Well, not really.
Or not, really.
When you think about it.
Silence of the Lambs, Beauty and the Beast. Interchangeable. Nominate them both. All right. I don't know who that conversation's between.
It's like watching the same film twice.
Angela Lansbury recorded the lines during the lines of her film and
Beauty and the Differently Abled Person.
She recorded those lines during her breaks from Murder, She Wrote. So that's another kind of weird juxtaposition.
Oh, my God.
Also, another weird juxtaposition is Jackie Chan performed the voice acting and singing of the Beast in the Chinese dub of the film.
Oh, my God.
That is amazing. Belle, I love you. And I'm not going to do any more of that impression. I'm just
Beauty and the Year of the Beast.
And look at you, eh? Look at you.
I know.
You do come out with them corkers, don't you?
You didn't even laugh. You just went... Look at you!
On the radio.
It wasn't funny, it was just clever.
On the radio, I said, look at you.
We'll edit the laughs in, it'll be
there
fine.
There you go. Have you got any more bits of trivia?
I have, yeah. In the French version of Beauty and the Beast, Cogsworth was a... Do you know what? I've completely fucked this joke up. I've just realised I've done it completely
wrong. Did you tell me the punchline before you said the set?
No. I've just done it completely wrong. So in the French release, basically, Cogsworth's name is Big Ben.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And my joke was, the candle in the French version being like a cockney? But it's not the candle, it's the clock that I'm talking about.
That's all right, Pete. We'll follow you. We'll follow you.
That joke, it makes no sense.
No. It's fine.
Sorry, mate. I thought I had some gold.
Mate,
there,
it's fine. It's absolutely
that's
fine.
Improvised radio.
Well, there
folks.
You go. Anything could happen. It could slam. It could fall.
Yeah,
you know.
Do you
we're
expect
all here
us to come up with all the gags and run the show as well while the producer's not here.
Bloody hell, you do it. I'm ill.
Yeah,
right. It's winter.
You come up. You come up with a human clock based joke from a Disney film.
Yeah,
see if I fucking laugh.
We're doing mental gymnastics here, mate.
Yeah.
All right. So come and give us a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Right. So we're going to do our final little segue, and then we're going to do a final roundup. Oh, we've really enjoyed talking to you people tonight. Keep listening.
Bad nostalgia.
Look, Simba, everything the light touches is our kingdom.
And this will all be mine?
Everything.
Everything the light touches. What about that shadowy place?
That's beyond our borders. You must never go there, Simba.
We'll ruin your childhood.
And we're back. Thank you, people. I forgot to put the sound down there, but hopefully you didn't notice anything. Good. We are going to do the final roundup of the film, right? We used to have different categories, right, that were sex, violence, horror, and language. But because we're dealing with Disney this series, language is going to be a bit pointless, isn't it? Like
it
I was saying before, it's either going to be a naught or a one because, someone said bum. But, you know, it's not really going to fly, is it?
So. No.
I thought that we could change it up a bit and change language for morality.
Okay.
As in how messed up the message is behind the film. Because the Disney films are always about putting across some nice life message for the little kiddies to take with them, isn't it? Beauty and the Beast. There's no bigger example of that than Beauty and the Beast. So maybe that's something to think about, and we can do that now.
Yeah.
So kicking it off with sex out of 5. What are you thinking?
I'm going to give it... There's a rapey scenes in that. I'm going to give it a 3.
Going to give it a 3.
And there's also the...
There's the tits as well. Everyone's got tits.
Tits.
Because it's about surface. So I suppose if they were going to justify it, they would say, yeah, it's about vanity and about looking beyond that. So if you put loads of tits everywhere, it will remind you of the things you're not supposed to be attracted to.
Exactly.
So I'm... kind of backfires. I'm going to give it a 4. Right. Okay. Violence.
I'm going to give it a 4 just for that stabbing bit.
That is one of the most violent things in any of the Disney films, I reckon. That moment. Yeah. So I draw full respect for that. Yeah. I'm putting three. Horror.
It is quite a dark film. The Beast is still actually quite scary.
Yeah, and considering that's one of the protagonists is someone who is literally something out of a horror film.
Yeah.
It creates quite a dark tone throughout the film, doesn't it? Yeah. I'm going to give it a 3.
I'm going to give it a 3 as well.
Yeah. And morality.
What are you going to give it?
I don't know. I mean, it really bends over backwards to give you a good message.
Yeah.
But then it keeps tripping up over itself because it really wants to show you beautiful people.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to give it, and obviously when we say morality, we mean how messed up is the morality.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's so compromised, although it does try hard to not be, I'm going to give it a 3.
I'm going to give it a 4, mate.
Right, okay. And any racial bonus points in the end?
I think just by the fact that they got the racism wrong. In my opinion, I'm still standing by that.
Okay, you stand by that.
It's a little town with little people, and everyone's little. It's not a coincidence. Watch it again, Lewis.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give it a 1.
Well, I'm going to give it a 2.
Okay. So what have we got? I got 7, 10, 13, 14, which is very respectable. It's not going to win the series, but it's very, very respectable. You've got a 16, have you? Oh, yeah, that's pretty nice. So
that is.
Our total is pretty decent, actually.
Yeah, mate.
It's going to be an interesting round when we get to the end of this series, I tell you. And we won't be having any more little breaks. We will be back again next week. And what are we doing next week? I think it's the Jungle Book, I do believe.
Ooh.
So that is going to... There's going to be all sorts in that.
Yeah,
I've literally not seen that for decades, mate.
I went to the cinema to see that, mate.
Did you?
Yeah.
Wow.
I went to the cinema with my gran to see it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I think it originally came out in like the 60s or 70s, didn't it? But it did have a re-release in the 90s.
Yeah.
During the Disney Renaissance.
It was obviously the re-release.
Obviously, because in the 70s you would have been -20 or something.
I was in my dad's balls.
Always 1 year difference.
Yeah.
Inside your dad's balls. I wasn't in your dad's balls, though. Right, so that's a great way to end the show. And hopefully Michelle will not be hungover and she will be here to drive the show for us next week so I don't have to play the drums. Do follow us @BadNostalge. I love you so, so much. Take care, people. God bless.